staying at hotels. Please understand that a hotel is a place where you eat and sleep. And it comes to Tilah. Tilah should be done not in a makeshift room, but in a Beit Knesset. And whether it is our Beit Knesset or any of the multitude of Beit Knesset in the neighborhood, we ask that you help through your presence support the Beit Knesset in this area, if in fact you are staying in this area. I would also like to call your attention to the fact that the Ezrat Hashem, this coming Shabbat, in addition to a bar mitzvah that we have here, we are also having a kiddush in honor of the president of the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, Mr. Maurice Wall, who is being honored that Shabbat by Bar Ilan University. On the occasion the following day of the dedication of the Wall Center, which is being dedicated in memory of his late wife, Vivian Wall, Zichronah Livracha. And everyone is invited to join with us this Shabbat. We will hear Divrei Torah from the president of Bar Ilan University, Professor Moshe Kamel. I would also like to call your attention to the fact that Be'ezrat Hashem, this coming Motzei Shabbat, we begin our monthly Motzei Shabbat Mevarchim lecture series in English in our Friedland Banquet Hall. Our first speaker will be Ambassador Dori Gold, who is the president of the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs and is the former Israeli representative at the United Nations. His topic will be Israel's diplomatic challenge after disengagement. The lecture is in English. There is a question and answer session that follows the presentation. There is no admission charge, and refreshments are served, and everyone is cordially invited to attend. The Akshav, Yeshli HaKavora Nadol, Hatsi. Thank you. May I ask one other favor? If anyone is left with a cell phone, could you please shut it off? Thank you. Ve'achshav, yesh li hakavod ha'gadol lahatzik bifneichem rosh yeshivat shalvim hagaon rabbi Yechezkel Yaakovson Shmita.
שהידידות הזאת תלך ותמשיך הער אליה שיעור שלו, אני רק אקדים ואומר איזשהו רעיון בפתיחה, אולי הרגש מיוחד שהרגשתי השנה לקראת ליל הושענא רבה. אנחנו במשך כל ימי סוכות אומרים הושענא, מבקשים הושענא. עד כדי כך התקבלה התפילה של הושענא, עד שבגמרא הארבעה מילים נקראים הושענא. ומה אנחנו אומרים בהושענא? אנחנו אומרים הושענא למענך אלוהים הושענא, הושענא למענך בוראים. מה זה למענך? התוספות אומרים על הבקשה אני ברו ראשי עליו, רש"י כבר מציין שאני ברו זה שמותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. אבל למה שני השמות האלה באופן מיוחד התקבלו, אני ברו? תוספות אומרים שהשמות האלה באים לבטא שכשהקדוש ברוך הוא נמצא עם ישראל בכל צרותיו, אמו אנוכי בצרה, כשאנחנו מבקשים הושענא למענך, הקדוש ברוך הוא, מה שנקרא בקבלה שביתא בגלותא, בכל צרותם לא צר. וכשאנחנו מבקשים על ישועת ישראל, אנחנו לא רק מבקשים תושיע אותנו, אלא ריבונו של עולם, למענך, אני ברור, אתה נמצא יחד איתנו, אתה יחד איתנו. מי שרואה את הפיוט של פרשת האלים בלוד, כל הפיוט מבוסס על הרעיון הזה שהקדוש ברוך הוא נמצא איתנו, וגאולת ישראל זה גאולתה, גאולתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. הושענא למענך, עם ישראל מקדש את השם, וכשעם ישראל זוכה גם קידוש השם יש בזה. וחלילה ואני השנה הרגשתי שאם הקדוש ברוך הוא צר צרותיהם של ישראל ונמצא בכל צרותם, אמו אנוכי בצרה, ואנחנו מבקשים הושענא למענך, גם אנחנו צריכים לדבוק במידותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא ולהרגיש, גם כשאולי כל אחד ואחד מאיתנו באופן פרטי לא חש בצדק, מה עבר על עם ישראל השנה? יש עכשיו תושבים שעוברים ממקום למקום חסרי בית. מה עבר על עם ישראל בכלל? אנחנו עדיין בגלות. האם אנחנו, גם אנחנו חשים דבקים במידותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, ואנחנו אומרים, תושיע, תושיע את עם ישראל, אתה בגלות יחד עם עם ישראל. הושענא למענך, גם אנחנו צריכים לחוש, גם כשלנו אולי באופן אישי לא כל כך רע, לחוש את אותה תחושת הזדהות, ולבקש שסוף סוף הושענא, הושענא, הושענא. יהי רצון שבשנה הבאה, שנעשה את אותה הושענא, נעשה את זה מול בית המקדש, לא רחוק מכאן, ונעלה כולנו בשמחה ובששון ירושלים הבנויה.
Comment
some of his published essays, that the Parshas Bereishis is chock full of halachas just as much as Parshas Mishpatim. The halacha tells us the halacha of the Yoko is supposed to go on the wings of us and go and emulate the way of Dash, and we have to study Parshas Bereishis in order to know exactly how to fulfill that mitzvah of the halacha of the Yoko. Many rabbanim, many thinkers considered a chutzpah when the astronauts were sent down into outer space and were walking on the moon. And also Rachel writes in his essay that he doesn't think that it's a chutzpah at all. He thinks that this is a fulfillment of the biblical commandment. Rule of rule, and rule of law, and it's sure that the Father wants us to be purely have control over everything in the world. If you think that that person was an act of good, other than that. That's what our friend Moses tells us in Parshas Bereishis. He created man in order to gain control over everything in the world. The Chumash tells us that the Lord created Adam himself and the king. The Chumash describes something which is not to be taken literally, obviously. If the apple which my sky is, he saw Adam and Nefesh Chaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a breath of life into Adam, and he became alive. Not to be taken literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, he doesn't know. But Chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the famous comments of the Zohar, and of course, the Ma'ifa, the Abba, the Mishnah Chaya, needs to explain that man was created in celibacy, the man enough, the tether, the one who blows, has to take a deep breath, and blow out the air. So the Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, that a muscle from his gishkin, he saved up a lot of air, and breathed in a lot of air. And he blew it into the face of Adam HaRishon, and that's what gave Adam HaRishon this celibacy that he had. Exactly what is included in this concept of celibacy. So the Abit is quoted, was a contemporary of the Zukar of the Spatz of the city. He wrote a special piece of tea. The Meshe Chochma, in his commentary on the first voice of the Mabin, Shatzel Malachi means the Diva Koshis. The man was created with the Diva Koshis, the tremendous thing. And this is the thing, Rav Zolvechi pointed out in Rambam, in his Teshuva as a whole chapter, when he speaks a lot about the Diva Koshis, six parents, in his Teshuva. Instead of using the term that Hebrew Hashem, which he was familiar with, he uses a different expression. He starts off the term Yishuz B'chalam and he's in the Yishuz. Same thing. Why did the Rambam choose the word Yishuz instead of using the word Hebrew? So Rashi said that those who read Israeli newspapers will understand they call the election Yishuz. So Yishuz, he voted in the election, so it gives you a choice. If you were selecting a candidate, you can choose either I go for this candidate, that candidate, the other candidate. You can choose from among the candidates or both. The Rama wants to tell us that not only does the man have a bigger of option, you can hardly choose from the various options that are presented to him. Man has to choose even if the option is not presented to him. A person is brought up in a religious home. He has the opportunity, he has the ability, he's not possible, he has the ability to go choose to do whatever he is, things that he never saw at home at all. And a person is brought up in a totally non-observant home. He's not given the choice. He's given the choice whether he wants to go to one university or the other university. He chooses to go to yeshiva. He chooses, he makes a choice that wasn't even offered to him. It's not a bechira, that's a reshusal of Allah in the Sunnah. People have the ability to choose even an alternative that wasn't presented to him at all. And this bechira of option, this choice that man has, the ability to choose, the Navi tells us, Asim Barai Bezicho, Tzel Yadi Bezicho, Yisro Shaman Yisro Yor, so we both will give us the Toya. This is the view of options. The very advantage of this Mach Rigor. This is the ability to accomplish tremendous things. You shouldn't think that this is really what can we accomplish in any way because this is because of Eris, or what's he going to do? No. So the Navi tells us that a person can accomplish tremendous things in this world by doing it too, by being Hashem and Yitzhak. Can destroy the revolution of others, looking at the beautiful goodness in the world by doing our errors. Jewish people who are commanded halach v'nidrogo, it doesn't mean to imitate the ways of Hashem. It's a little ridiculous to imitate the Baruch Shalom. Little children sometimes like to imitate their parents. Let's say a little girl wants to imitate her mother. She'll put on a shape, or put on a little bonnet, put on high heel shoes, put on an apron, and make believe that she's a mommy. She'll scream at the little children. She'll think that's the definition of a mommy, to scream at the little children because everybody bench. A little boy will imitate a doctor, so he'll have a stethoscope, and make believe that he listens to some apartment or something like that. So what does it mean? A person is going to imitate the ways of the Bershlam, which is make believe that the Bershlam could be there to take over his job and his diet. What does it mean to imitate the ways of the Bershlam? If you look in the question, it doesn't seem to be for Hamas and Bershlam to imitate the ways of God. The Bershlam continues. After that Bershlam, the Bershlam, the person that says, the Rok Kalami Al-Arik, and all of the nations of the world will see Shem Hashem is from Ephraim, and you have continued to preserve yourself from him. The Yoru in Echo. So we go to the other before she say, Avoya Hashem, the Yoru in Echo, and we learn from you, Yir Hashemai. The Jewish people, which are paid in telling us what it says in Divinity, the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an oral adult, supposed to serve as a light unto the nation. The light unto the nation is in what area? What, in Shabbos, in Kashmir, in Paris, in Shabbos, that has nothing to do with the other nations of the world. We serve as the light unto the nations in the area of Benjamin's capital. Because the Roman created all of us in the Tel Avivim. Jews and non-Jews alike. Everybody was created in something. The Roman gave us something in addition, God is my mother. The Roman human earth is the Zuma of the Pashto, the Earth of the Mishnah, the Kosh Shah, the Mishnah, the Dalit. God is not the Shadim of the Tel Avivim, the Sosh, the Tel Avivim, 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 and the Jewish people have something over that. A double portion of the Talmud, that we call part of my office, that they have this in the DNA, that they have it in the genes, that the children have it in the genes. From the parents, but they still have more, greater degree of Talmud. So because of this Talmud, we have in our minds, in our souls, we already have meters of Talmud. But it's all given to preserve those leaders of the Tuas, while Allah to be stronger. Not to imitate the ways of God, but to preserve the leaders of the Tuas, that are stronger created within all of us. Then the next person continues to say, we're all Kalam and Horus. And all the nations of the world will see, because we are supposed to serve as a Rola Gai. And all the nations of the world will see, Yishem Hashem in your life, that you have succeeded in preserving your Talmud of the Gideon. They can do the same as well. They also were created with Talmud of the Gideon. So the Yoram Rebbe, they will learn from you how to act with Yir Hashemayim. That's why it's very important to learn the Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis describes the way the Rebbe Shalom has the Kaya Hayitzir and the Kaya Hayitzir and the Kaya Hayitzir and the originality and the beautiful creativity and so on. So the Rebbe gave this kind of originality and creativity to all of us. Whoever has talents in any area is supposed to develop those talents, whatever area they happen to be in. A person has to develop it. This is part of this mitzvah of halach to the job of. The Medrash comments based on scripture in Tanakh that the entire story of creation doesn't fully appear in books of the Parashat Bereishis. Part of the story is missing. Part of the story which is missing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally was very alone in Machrito. He created one world and he wanted to satisfy and destroy that. Then he created another world and he destroyed that. He created another world, kept on destroying, only finally creating this world. What does that mean? That's what the Ramban HaKodesh is. That Medrash is just saying, what's the pshat? Or Yahweh is going to be told by a human being who plans to build a building on the planet. Project related to all the business, he never knows in advance whether he's going to be successful or not. After he does his project, he can look back in retrospect and say, by Yarkito, that doesn't work that well. The back of his bone, there is no subject. If the Russian law wants to be told, he's going to say, I want to create a world that's going to be told. It's going to be told. If he does want it to be told, so it won't be told. What's the finish? By Yarkito,
talk every day to the Rosh Hashanah. This worked out well. That worked out. The Shteitzik is going to work out well.
That was the Rosh Hashanah, and it should work out well. It's going to work out well.
So the Ramban had an interpretation on the Pasuk by Yahweh. He told me that it was the Rosh Hashanah, that this should continue to exist.
Would have only been the initial Rosh Hashanah, that he or they should be or they should be this, they should be that, they should be the other thing. So the basic nature of the world is that nothing exists. If I go and bring something into existence, it will only exist for a second, then it should pop back into non-existence. The reality of the time is that everything should be taken to exist. So the Ramban fought this chart, he was not yet this chart in the positive of the reality of the time. It does make sense to say that Hashem has passed judgment over each created activity that he did. This was done, that was done. If initially he wanted it to be done, of course it's going to be done. What's not a shot in this message that Hashem was very enormous amount of ego? He created one world and he destroyed it. How could it be? He created the world that he wanted to be done. It's going to be done. So why did he destroy it? It doesn't make any sense. What's the shot in the message? So they should get a fascinating comment in one of his published essays. He suggests that the Chachamim derived this concept from the Pesukim in Tanakh. The Rishbam was very enormous in Machrimon. A lot of times the Tanakh describes how the Rishbam was doing things which are not exactly 100% accurate. Not really what the Rishbam was doing. But he described the way the Rishbam did this in order to teach us a lesson. How we are supposed to act, we are supposed to do Habakkuk's Rokha, to go in the way of the Hashem to preserve, because it's about the tools that we have, to preserve the technology that we have. So the Chumash will often discuss Tanakh, will often describe Habakkuk's Rokha as doing activities which are not exactly, it doesn't really make sense that Habakkuk's Rokha should do that. It's not false, but it's not 100% true. And the reason why the Tanakh writes this is in order to teach us how we should act. For example, it says that Hashem created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, what do you mean he rested on the seventh day? He worked so hard in the 6 days of creation. This is the Atma Menucha. Hashem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu right in the Chumash that I rested on the seventh day in order that people should know that they have to rest on the seventh day. And that's a part of the mitzvah of Hamas of the Drama. So the Tanakh describes that that's one of the leaders of Elohim, that he relaxes.
Started all over again, I made a third world. This is all part of the Yudin for Parsha Bereishit. There are many figures who would have it there when the Rabbi Shalom gave Torah and Hashem Arne Hasina. We would have it there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam Rishon, like Tzav Hashem Elokim Al Ha'odom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, commanded Adam Rishon to observe Hashem Elokim Al Ha'odom. And the Noyach to observe all of the mitzvahs. But those who were not there find it difficult to believe and impossible, philosophically impossible, how can God command man? What do you mean? God is infinite, how can God communicate with man? It doesn't make any sense that God and man become shifted. I engage a worker to work for me in my business and I pay him a salary. So, who are you not making? Thank you for the hand. The Rosh Hashanah engages us and tells us we should perform mitzvahs and not violate our various. The promise is Kaviyan, she's going to pay us the salary, she's going to pay us give us a car, Rav Mazel, Rav Makor, and they're going to give us financial if we do our best. So those who were not present, not the Shabbos, the people that are going to go and give you a permission, they were not present, they were going to go to you to know it. They were not present, they were going to find the Hanan Sinai. The point is, it's possible to believe that such a thing happened. Really, God communicates with men, and God makes a deal with men, and he signs a contract with them. This is mitzvahs, what do you mean? This is that we do, make up for the world happy, and absolutely doesn't make any sense. Yes, it was obviously not that doesn't make any sense. But forgetting the philosophy, this is history, this is what happened. By Tzav Hashem, we came out of all the flame of the Rosh Hashanah, we came out of the Rosh Hashanah. We believe in Torah and Hashanah. Torah and Hashanah was given to all of us, was given to Noah, was given to Messina, was given to the Nabi, the Rosh Hashanah gave it to you. And there is a shustis, and there is a hashivus to the fact that we have a God of Allah, the Shaman. Because the Baba wants us to accept his mouth and to observe his senses. It does have much more, it does have a significant meaning. The Parsha Bereishit, we have the story of the Eitz HaDaat related. One has to wonder, what is the significance of this story? What does it have to do with us? Pagan religions, yeah, the Mizarah religion, the original sin plays a major role. So, one would understand why it should appear in the book. So, our religion, the true religion, it doesn't seem we study the Mizarah, the original sin doesn't play that much of a role at all. So, why did it fit in the book? What's up, Shaikhita? The Mizarah says that the Nebuah of the Lord of the Earth, the prophets, the Nebuah, Shaya Yuki Yeheskel are only incorporated into the Tanakh, into the Nebuah that's relevant to the future generations. There were many other Nebuahs whose prophecies were not relevant to the future generations, and their Nebuahs were not incorporated into the Tanakh. So certainly the Lubish is not going to be incorporated into the Tanakh. It shouldn't have the status of Pitzka Pemshel Pamishah Pushitara. It has no relevance to the future generations. So obviously this story of the head of the Hitzadah is relevant to all the future generations. What way? Apparently the Chumash, Malvin is what the Chumash is trying to describe a typical avenue. What causes people to sin? We should know that we should look after this, we should be careful. Just like Chava fell in, just like Adam, when Chava fell in, so we can fall in on our avenue. We don't have to use some Eitz HaDaat anymore. If we should find the Eitz HaDaat, it would be permissible for us to eat it. It's only a year or a sure that but just like they fell in, and the Chumash describes how the world led into sin, and we should be careful, we shouldn't fall into sin. But interesting, the Chumash doesn't seem to imply what type of the tree exactly was the Eitz HaDaat. Rabbis of the Talmud have different suggestions, it's unclear. One suggestion is that it's deeper, that wheat used to grow on trees. Now it grows on the ground like a grain. But originally, before the head of Eitz HaDaat, one opinion in the Talmud is that it used to grow on trees. Another suggestion is that the Eitz HaDaat was grapes, because people drink wine for centuries already, for a millennia. People drink wine in their chicken and do all kinds of cola and rosa, do all kinds of affairs. That's what that many of the Talmud believe that the Eitz HaDaat must have been a grape farm. Other times said it must have been at the end of a fig tree, because it says the Yisbu two Aritena, must be that there's a connection between the Aritena and the Yisadar, not the Aritena. And then the other thing in the marriage is that it was an Esrog tree. But the rabbis didn't need to say that this was the only Esrog tree in the whole Mishkan Eden. No, there were many Esrog trees. There were many Teino trees. There were many grape vines. And there were other trees that were keeping growing. Whichever one of the four things one should assume, it doesn't mean that that would be one and only tree that had this fruit growing on it. There were other trees that were exactly with the same flavor, everything exactly the same. Look delicious, and all the other trees were also delicious. What's so bad about oranges, what's so bad about grapefruits, what's so terrible about plums and pears, and everything else, all the fruits are delicious. So you look at the Tzuvim in the Bereshit, it describes that all of the trees in Gan Eden were not for the Mar and the Tabal right now. They all were tasty, and they all were very appealing. Then it says the Ekadat was also Tabal by night, and not for the Mar and the Tabal. It's exactly the same description as all the other trees. That's exactly what the Chumash is trying to tell us, that the Yisra'arim, psychologically, people always think that the grass is greener on the other side. Whatever we're not allowed to do, we think, it must be that that Avera has such tremendous halach. I'd be that Avera, I'd be a happy person. I'd be having tremendous pleasure that there's no way to have the Avera shall have. And it's not really true. The Chumash said it's a fairish. Both of the trees and Gan Eden were tasty, they were all delicious, they were all natural by lion, the total amara. And this wasn't the only tree that had Esrogan growing. There were other trees, there were other Esrogan trees. There were other grapevines, it wasn't the only one. Other Parishan Machabas could have been another grapevine, it would have been Hetagomas. So what do they think is more Hamad, needing this tree than needing the other tree? That's exactly the mistake that the Sahara causes us to make. They're all of our lives. We think that we can only get the Hamad doing the act, the oil and shall have to, you'll never enjoy Elam HaZeh fully. You never make as much money. If you make much more money, that's what it's not true. If you compare one job with the other, okay. But there are many other jobs that can be a Shem Shabbos. You can make more than the one that's being a Chal Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily follow that because the person who buys that Shabbos is going to make more money. So he doesn't just start on the Shabbos. Going to enjoy life much more. Because it tells us in mind removing, we talk to people psychologically think. Because something is obvious that they think that there is much more and more. That's the famous interpretation that the Israeli gives on the Gemara and Tukim. One is interpreting an Uluel, considering Hanuvian, is an obscure description of a funeral that's going to take place love and love. So the one wants to know who died and who's delivering Heston and what's going on. The Marzal HaKadosh is going to shed the Yitzhara. And everyone's going to be crying. The Tzaddikim are going to be crying, and the Rishayim are going to be crying. The Tzaddikim will be crying now, and they'll wonder, is the Yitzhara is so tremendous, like a heart. It's so powerful, it's gigantic, like a mountain. How do we have the ability to restrain ourselves, to restrain from violating the Avodah? And the Rishayim will look at the same Yitzhara that the Rebbe Shalom is going to share. And the Gemara says to the Rishayim, they'll be crying, how did we do such a silly thing? Why did we violate the Zaveri? The Yitzhara is the Mutta Zaveri. There's nothing there. So Havala Parshim is going, Havala Parshim is going, everyone is going to cry. The people will cry, how did we have the ability to overcome the Yitzhara? It's so powerful. And the Rishayim will cry, why did we fall in? Why did we listen to the Yitzhara? There's nothing there. But what exactly is this story? Does the Yitzhara look like a gigantic mountain? Does it only look at the Mutasaya? What's the shot? So the Beis HaLevi has a famous interpretation of the Sefer HaMidrashim. So he explains that the Tzaddikim who never sin conjure up in their minds an imagination of this life he doesn't even talk of. It must be that this Yitzhara, these Averis, will give such pleasure. It will do all the Averis, we'll get such Anot HaElamazeh, which we can never get such Anot HaElamazeh if we lack in accordance with the Deen after. The Rishoyim violated the Averis and they saw that there was nothing there. It was like a Chutzat Zaira. They made the same money whether they'll be Shami Shabbos and Mechala Shabbos, they get the same Anot HaElamazeh, whether they'll keep the Mitzvot, they'll violate the Averis. Everything is exactly the same. So that's why the two, the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim, have a different perspective. They're looking at the exact same thing. And to the Tzaddikim who never violated the Averis, ובהם, כדם, זה יהיה כאור, זה לא להם כאור. זה כבר יתמד את נעם. שמד, זה נדע רואה להם. ובדם זה יהיה ממש, must be a tremendous pleasure the moment they have violated the Avera. As opposed to the Rishon who actually violated the Avera, you can see that there's nothing there. The truth of the matter is that there was nothing there. All the trees in Gan Eden had to be delicious. They were all beautiful and looking. They were all described exactly in the same description. That's from Lamara, and so on. Foolish describes the way the Nohosh presented the courage in this Kaaba position. The body sounds a little humorous. But this is the Ekadat Kofara. Eating from this tree, man will gain intelligence. Intelligent as God himself. But that's how the Medrash interprets the Pashuk Shat in the Pasuk. That the Nohash was definitely not one of all women, not in the bottom of Muslim. Everyone in any Jewish field was always jealous of his competition. This dentist is jealous of the success of the other dentist. And this lawyer is jealous of the success of the other lawyer. And this businessman is jealous of the success of the other businessman. So by the very nature of God, he would be jealous, he wouldn't want to have any competition. How do you think God became God? God actually made God up. That's how he became so wise, that's how he became so powerful and so intelligent. He's very jealous, God doesn't want to have any competition. But God tells you that it's an opposite. God tells you not to create God up, so he doesn't want to have any competition. He knows that you think in the end of that, he's in the end of the day, you'll become as powerful and as intelligent as God himself. So this is a mamash ha-shigoyen. The Kaaba fell for it. That's the heart of belief. The Kaaba fell for that. So Rav Eshi Kadi, one of his initial statements, one of his published drushes, comments on this, he points out, we have a series of Avera and Chumash, was the Shaka reached by Misto. If a person fools someone else, that's a terrible argument. So Rachel said that the greater Avera than fooling someone else is for a person to fool himself. A person fools himself into believing that he can become God. A person fools himself into believing that he's a nobody, that he's a somebody, or that he belongs to this heaven, that he belongs to that heaven. It's very important the person has to know what he needs to go to. They will talk about Macarus and Simon. The Kaaba really fooled. She listened to the Nohash, and she thought that by using Netada, she's going to become like God, and she's going to make competition for the very idol. But that's a terrible thought of sin that all of us make. We all misjudge ourselves. We don't know exactly what role the wife is supposed to play. We're being the woman in this world. We hang out with the wrong header often. We often hang out with the wrong header much lower than our level requires. And it's a disaster for us, and often we hang out with a family that's way too high for us. We think too highly of ourselves. And we're not ready for that much idea, and that itself will cause a guilt. This is one of the sources of sin that the Mokesh is describing, that the Nohash represented the Eitz Hara. And this is sin, and this is Kevahim, that man told himself into believing that he's something other than who he really is. Rebbe's comment, another passage in the story of the death of the Eitz HaDaas. Here is the other Rishon, and he tells him he's going to be punished, because he's a Darakar, and a Tafiyavlof, and so on. And he tells him, you shamata l'kodu shtefa, because you listen to the voice of your wife. So the Rebbe points out that in the correct Hebrew, she didn't say, he shamata bitolishtef. You listen to your wife's suggestion. Kaaba ate the Eitz HaDaas, and she recommended the Rav should also eat it. And then she says, he shamata bitolishtef. What do you mean, he shamata bitolishtef? So the Medrash interprets the shot of the pasuk that the other Mishnah came over to Kaaba. So she said, have some Esrogim. Have a slice of Esrogim, have a slice of pain, or whatever. That was a little bit of the end of that. But she said, what do you mean? We're not allowed to. So I need to make her that. We're not done. So she started to cry. And she said, what do you mean? You're going to leave me alone? I'm going to die. You're going to marry someone else. And she was crying. So she pressured on the Christian husband. So he said, darling, stop crying. Okay, I'll do the other way. We give this to our spouses, not only the husband giving it to the wife, a lot of times the wife gives it to the husband. We give it to our parents to do our duties, we give it to our children to do our duties, we give it to the neighbors, we give it to the society. We do what is politically direct. We feel social pressures back in a certain way. And we're not supposed to feel those pressures. We're supposed to act according to what is direct. Whatever the duty requires, that's how we're supposed to act. We're supposed to be concerned about what's politically correct, what people will say about us. Exactly what does the Bucket mean? They found out so far back. Rambam, in the opening chapter in one of the book, is raising this question. Does it mean that Adam HaRishon, before he ate with the Eitz HaDaat, had no sechel? It is about the human, it is about Roshan. So what does it mean that it's an Eitz HaDaat Sefer Ra? The Rambam has this interpretation in one of the Gubin. He says that before Roshan sinned by eating from the Eitz HaDaat, he understood clearly what's correct and what's incorrect, what's right and what's wrong. And after sinning from the Eitz HaDaat, he had a different perspective on everything in the world. Instead of judging right away, is it right or wrong, is it correct or incorrect, is it judge, is it pleasant or is it unpleasant, is it tov or is it wrong? A lot of times we are required to do things that we find unpleasant, and we're not permitted to do other things which we find very pleasant. We're not supposed to make our decisions in life based on tov or ra, whether any given activity is pleasant or unpleasant. We're supposed to make all the decisions based on correct or incorrect, emes or sheker. This is how the Rambam and the Mar Nebuchadnezzar interpret. If we're eating from the Eitz HaDaat, all the Marishim gained a different perspective on life. Because he was rationalizing that it was okay, that it was pleasant, that it was good taste, and so on. Hasidish is going to have a similar interpretation, but not exactly the same. As far as the translation of the phrase of Eitz HaDaat Tov Ra, that originally before the sin, Adam HaRishon was able to discern right from wrong, and after he sinned, everything became hazy. The Tov and the Ra were the Romans ever said. That's what it means, Tov Ra. Tov Ra were mixed in together, so it's very hard to discern what's Tov and what's Ra. By all of us, that's a big problem. The famous comment that the rabbis in the Talmud have in Bava Metzia and the Pasuk in Bava Nafshi, the Pasuk is describing a situation of Tosh Tosh Akhili Goyba, both of them was Bachaita Yor, because Bogu makes it very dark outside, and all the animals in the jungle start roaming around in the dark, in the darkness of the night. So what exactly is that describing? Tosh Tosh Akhili Goyba, both of them was He says that Balaiba, when it's dark outside, we often make two different types of mistakes. Sometimes we'll see a lamppost and we'll think that it's a person. Sometimes you see a person who thinks that it's a lamppost. The doctor can't tell. Sometimes, the other one says, sometimes we'll think something is much more important than it really is. Think that the person should be a lamppost. And sometimes we'll think that something is much less significant than it really is. In this world, we see things that are mitzvahs and we convince ourselves that that's an aver. We see things that are there, and we convince ourselves that these things are mitzvahs. It's really tremendous. Teshkes are mazeh. They just as one obvious marshal, the whole issue of Eretz Yisrael, of the Eretz Yisrael. A whole bunch of Jews didn't say Kiddush on Yom HaAtzmaut. And other people are dancing and singing and rejoicing and saying, "Ah, I'm a Kiddush when I'm Katzah, I'm a Katzah," when he's talking about the biggest Aveir in the world and the biggest Christian in the world. But that's what the Chassidish is far interpreted. That before a person sins, he has the ability to tell right from wrong, to discern what right from wrong. After a person sins, if he wants to rationalize it, right? He wants to try to forgive, but he wasn't so good. But that's the nine, he talks it into himself that the mitzvahs were in the Averis, and the Averis are in the mitzvahs. And that's why we refer to the original sins that we do are all. And they start out to tell you, whenever we do the first Averis in any given area, causes the demarcation line that distinguishes between Tov and Ra to become very handy. The Tov and Ra is something we're often meant to do. It's already a Heshka coming on that. We can't tell whether we're doing the part to know, whether we're doing this or we're doing other. So the Rashi began in one of his published essays has a very interesting comment. And the question and describes in the Chumash, after Adam and Chava sinned, the Eitz HaDaas, and then the Yehudi Kiyehudi men, they realized that they were naked. He quotes a passage from the Zohar, but it doesn't only mean that they were physically naked. The Yehudi Kiyehudi men, they realized that they had sinned, and they were really spiritually bankrupt, that they were naked spiritually, and they were looking to use that. So they realize they have to do something, they have to somehow do truth, and they have to remake their lives, they have to do everything they want for them. But because they were so involved in the sin, that they couldn't figure out on their own how to straighten out their mess. So the person says, "By Yisguru Alei Tzeim." But one opinion in the Medrash has is that this, the Eitz HaDaas was an Eitz of Te'ena. That's what they sinned with. So they were, well, once a person is involved in an Avera, very hard to shake off that Averis. Even when he wants to do tshuva, he's going to build his tshuva around the Averis. He's going to include the Averis into the tshuva. He's going to make a tikkun for the Averis from the Averis itself. And this is what they say. Then the next few sentences later, the Chumash says, "The Rebbe Shlom told me garbage, but the Averis say is garbage. The Rebbe Shlom made them cut the bar by Yalvishen. Your Averis say is not going to work. You can't figure out how to do tshuva. Your tshuva is going to be Apshara. It's going to be a compromise because you're going to not want to shake off the event. You're not going to want to admit that you did something wrong. You're going to still incorporate the Atei Teina, the pears from the Teina tree into your children, into your new way of life." And the Baruch Hashem says, "I have to show you the way to do children. But concerned by our bishop." It's very hard for people to do children. No one wants to give up the whole pear. No one wants to admit that they really made a mistake. It's very difficult. We need a tremendous yak and shmak. The Bunchalm has to come. We have to make Bunchalm throw my out of shame. The Rachel was fond of saying over in the name of the Darshan in the Durek, comment on the Russian on the text of the Nibu that was incited by the Kangar on Yom Kippur. The Kangar would say, "Bon Hashem, Atosi Alisi Koshaiti, Bon Hashem, Kappa Nala Hatoin Lavarish Lavshat." So Ona means please. So we understand the second time, the second sentence, and the Kangaroo says, "On Hashem, please, Kapan Allah HaTayt Allah, because I'm forgive me, forgive my family, forgive the God, forgive the God of Israel, for all of the others that we violate. On Hashem, Kapan Allah, forgive me." What's the first On Hashem? On Hashem, Tatos HaVisit Toshaiti. What is saying? "On Hashem, please, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I did it." What are you asking, please? Please listen to me. On Hashem Tatos, the Rachel said that the Darshanim in Europe used to say, "On Hashem, please give me the kayak to admit that I made a mistake." Most people will never admit that they made a mistake. Most people don't have the kayak to get it, that's how they admit. They don't have the kayak. If you don't have the Rebbeinu Shel Olam helping you, the next part of the story, our mission, the human being will fight there. He'll incorporate the Averis to the children. He'll use the Amit Te'enon, fight them in the Te'enon tree. That's what he'll go next to the Te'enon tree. He'll still stick to the Te'enon tree, at least that he's patching up right, by making some cover. And the Yaakov and Bobo has to help us in doing the tree. Very interesting that the Chumash speaks about these Begadim. The Rav Rishon thought that he's going to Kulan, or Mishabah Kulan, Alateino. So he's going to correct them and he says, no, Alateino is not going to work, you have to have fun with the Torah. Now, Lama speaks a lot about clothing. Here in Israel, a lot of the religious people walk around their shopping, you know, where you check it, where you talk.
All of the behaviors were created during the end of the
وضعات المرات اللي في الجنان لكي كنت فعند female human being. He didn't fall in love with the elephants, and he didn't fall in love with the birds, and he didn't fall in love with the horses. Of course not. He wanted admiration to realize, and he realized, I didn't create a habo independently from another. I'm going to create an explain that why. I want to have an institution of marriage. It should be a lasting, there should be a permanence to the institution of marriage. But that's how it was going to create habo from other. Why does Adam call it Isha? Kimi Isha called adult. It says in the Chumash. Because the Isha, because she was created from Eta. We have a minute. The woman's going to have an interesting minute. That when a couple gets married, either the husband takes on the wife's name, family name, or the wife takes on the husband's name. I married my wife, so she's called Mr. Shechter. In other countries in the world years ago, I would be called Mr. Shapiro. I would take over my wife's name and she'll take over my name. And with Tzilus and the davening is referring to the relationship between our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Israel. One of a marriage, and say each one took down the other one's name. Shim Kagar, Lachbarush, Olein Karasa, we are known as Amashem. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is known as Ishmael Karasa Mishmael, so he incorporated our name into his name. He's known as Elohim Israel. The husband took on the wife's family name, the wife took on the husband's family name to show that there's a permanence in his marriage. We live in a new generation of this new shtick. So when the couple gets married, either the husband takes on the wife's name or the wife takes on the husband's name. Each one wants to remain independent. The daughter wants to remain independent, and the king wants to remain independent of each other. They don't want the marriage to be of a lasting nature. Exactly in contradiction to the Rotten of the Rabban Shalom. It's got the Rabban Shalom Shalom and Rishon. All the other things, the Chayim and Ivan, the Spirit, the Yom and the Kepa, the independent of each other, each one has an independence. By human beings, a lot of my God, he didn't find a Kapo. He didn't find a female human being, because the Rabban Shalom said, I'm not going to create a Kapo independently. I want to make the Kapo from the other. That's what he said, the Yishu thing, the Yishu, the Kapo, the important thing was that we have to learn from the Chumash. Much to be learned in studying Parshas Bereishis in depth, to the commentary of the Midrashim. Rashi's commentary. Rashi quotes so many comments of the Medrash. Each comment that Rashi quotes from the Medrash is a gem, a pearl, tremendous. Tremendous insight into human nature, what the Yetzer is all about. I'll just quote one more comment and we'll close with that. The Pasuk describes that when Rashi Baruch Hu took Ofer Mirah Adonai. I don't think we necessarily have to take the words of the Pasuk literally, but Rashi Baruch Hu took Ofer Mirah Adonai like it. You don't take it literally, Hashem doesn't have a body, and he didn't take a deep breath, and he didn't blow into other Rishon. But to teach us a lesson, that Mande Nofa can be Lay Nofa, and this is how the Rav Shalom is down, how the Rav Shalom succeeded in endowing the Telem of the King, and gave his readers availability. Here also, you don't know exactly how to take the Pasuk, but literally, Ofer Mirah Adonai, Gemara says we're not supposed to delve into any of these parts of the Chumash. Only after that, Kula Shemai Mahari, Medrash says, based on the Gemara also, Medrash says that until the completion of the Sheshit Migration, after the Baba was at the king, and the Pasuk says, the initial was at the king has the door. We're not supposed to delve into that. Only after the Migration was created, then after the Baba will have the status of the Mela, and then the Pasuk says, the initial was going to walk in Kakoga, the Pasuk of the Mela, so we delve into that. So in this part, I can tell you that everything in chemistry, in physics, in biology, in the cell, everything after the Kula Shemayim Baruch Hu, we delve into everything in the Torah. It's everything after the Kula Shemayim Baruch Hu. But all the things before the Kula Shemayim Baruch Hu, when the Kula was not the other Mela, he was only the other king. And that's what the prophet says in Mishnah, it's going to be after the Kula. We're not supposed to delve too much into this. But the Mishnah says, the Pesukim do say something, what's the Pesukim teaching us? Something about teaching us certain highlights that is important for us to understand. Commenting on this post, the Medrash says, the God who created the offer, we know our number, where did he take? Where did the Darshan take the offer? From which part of the globe did he take the offer, we know our God? So there's different interpretations in the language. It's interesting, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah usually doesn't quote Agadah, the Rambam only quotes it in, say Rambam, and here the Rambam quotes an Agadah in this context. The Rambam is written in Beit HaMikdash, writing all the laws of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, except the academic of the Kadosh, the Hechel, and the Zohar, and the Beya, and the great Rambam is there for Tuvan the Yosef. The location where you build the Beya has to be on an exact precise location and an exact spot, because that is the spot where Avraham Avinu brought the book for the Akedah. That is the location where the prophet says in the Chumash that Noah brought Karbonus after the Mabul was all over. It says that the table there is from Harei Ararat, which you usually assume is somewhere in Turkey. And the prophet says that Noah offered Karbonus. He would have thought he offered Karbonus somewhere in Turkey, where the table landed. So the Rambam quotes the Medrash, no. Somehow he traveled from wherever Harei Ararat are in Turkey. He traveled to the Bakam Ahmedosh and Bakam Ahmedaya. And the Karbonus that Noah brought on the same Bakam Ahmedosh, that precise location where this prophet is built in Hebeya, a year later, Avraham Avinu brought his son Israel to the Akedah. That's when Noah brought the Karbonus. That excludes the same thing that Kayan Hevel brought Karbonus, but the Rambam quotes from every dark tradition has it. That was in that same location. The rabbis in the Talmud, Thomas had a person in the field, and the people Hashem in short form. The rabbis interpret that other Rishon brought Karbonus. That already does the same Kiddush. That's how the rabbis had a tradition in connection with this person in the field. The people Hashem in short form, after the Rambam will accept you, and to a greater degree than he accepted the part of the Rambam Rishon also, the short form. So the Rambam writes, our tradition has it that the Karbonus, the he constructed, that he offered the Karbonus, was this same location where the Akedah took place, the Kayan Hevel brought the Karbonus, the Mazarach brought the Karbonus, was that same location. And then the Rambam continues to quote the last line in the Medrash, and that is the location that said in the Chumash, that he got offered in Adama, that from the Bobo took earth, Minu Adama, and the expression Adama appears in Kiddush Mod, Mizbah Adama Tassel, the connection with building on the Veil. So the Rambam quotes this decision in the Medrash that the location on the globe where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the office to create the body of Adam HaRishon is that Makom HaMakum, that precise location where the Mizbeach was supposed to be built later. What is the Kavanah in this? What's the significance mentioned in this Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon from the Ovarim Adama from that location? The Medrash says, Halavai Tehelo Tafara. The whole idea of creating Adam HaRishon was that the Baruch Hu wanted to create a human being who has zero options. The Jainas don't have zero options. They have it's irrelevant. The Jainas lose it's irrelevant. The Baruch Hu gave human beings a cellular idea. We have talent of creativity. We have ability to destroy. We can create tremendous Olam HaSadukis. We can destroy. We can worry about Olam HaMarino with this cellular idea that we have. Dr. Shkoko knew that often we're going to choose to destroy. But he had to create within us the Torah of children. That's how Allah said children, one of the seven things that was created and existed before God created the world. The whole purpose of the Korea, the nation, the whole purpose of the Korea was to create human beings who will have the liberal cultures to do right or wrong, and often they'll do wrong. But that's going to be the destruction, utter destruction of the world. And the problem is, in the sense that the answer is no. The Baruch Shalom created us, all from the Adama, on the right to Hema Kapora. The Baruch Shalom created us, that within our souls, we have the ability to do truth. That's why he created all from the Adama. These are some of the lessons, not by far, not all. These are some of the lessons that the Chachamim point out in the Midrashim, from the Tzumim Liberation. These are all lessons from before, by Zul HaShemayim Moharis the Chotzvah, and the Medrash says anything before by Zul is not supposed to go with it. But these jump out of it. We're not delving into this. This is not Tzapordot, it's not the Zul for this. הרמב"ם מדבר שם נותן את הפסוקים עכשיו לתורה, הוא כבר את הפסוקים הקל לגב. This is what we have to learn, these lessons in life about the nature of the psychology of the artist and the psychology of sin, the ability to be children, the koyach of the chashuv, and the seven other things. These are all major principles and elements. I wish everyone a good day that she heard, good and good.
And all of us would like to express our deep thanks to our Gaon, Rav Herschel Schachter, for his very insightful comments and for teaching us that Medrash is important when it is made in the day matzah. And hopefully we will take his words and we will put it into our practice. I would like to just let you know that for those who are French speaking, at 11:30 tonight and throughout the night, Rav Yosef Sitruk, the Rav Roshi of France, will be learning here in French tonight. For those who did not get it on the timer, to my left in front, there will be a support of the fire. This goes off of Chag Sameach. Thank God Shalvin and the Neymar Knesset by the goal to sponsor
the United States. Thank you all. Agut Yon, Agut Yon, Shana Tova. Are you turning this off?
You want to go home?